You're now listening to the A Place of Refuge Productive Living Podcast. You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Bishop Barry D. Walker.
This podcast is an outreach of the Place of Refuge Church, located in Kelton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults be productive in every aspect of life, according to God's word. Now, let's receive Pastor Barry with today's message.
Now, here's today's message already in progress.
Young people, when it comes to the mind of God, it means a number of things, but you must understand and know three things in particular when we talk about the mind of God. Number one, the mind of God has to do with his thoughts. What God thinks about you. Number two, it has to do with his wish, what God desires to happen to you. And thirdly, when it comes to the mind of God, it has to do with his will, what God requires of you. So when it comes to God's mindset or mentality, he has thoughts, he has a wish, and he has a will. And we must live, young people, in such a way to where we understand God thinks certain things about us. God desires certain things for us. And God has a will or certain requirements that we must live according to. Don't you ever think that you can just live any old kind of way and please God. No, God has certain requirements. He has a will. Tell somebody the mind of God is his thoughts, his wish, and his will. Say it again. Say the mind of God. Finish it. It's his. Let's go to Isaiah and let's look at a couple of verses, young people, and let's consider what the Bible teaches us about the mind of God. Isaiah 55, and we'll look at verse number 8 and 9. Isaiah reveals, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways or your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." First thing we need to understand about the mind of God, young people, his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. God is on a totally different level when you compare his mind to the mind of man. And sometimes we can think one way, but always remember, God's thoughts are higher. It would be in order to say God's thoughts are better. God's thoughts are better than your own thoughts about yourself. He says, look, we're just not on the same page. So it's important for us, young people, to make sure that we constantly renew our mind so we can be transformed and we can think like God. You've got to learn, young folk, I need to think the way my God thinks. Paul said you have to set your mind on things that are above and not on earthly things. You got to learn how to elevate your mindset when it comes to yourself and when it comes to your life. Tell somebody, say, God's thoughts are higher than my thoughts. All right, let's go to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29. And notice verse number 11. Jeremiah 29 and 11. Jeremiah says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. Thoughts to give you a future and a hope. The Lord's thoughts concerning his people are peace, a future, and a hope. No matter how grim your life looks, God is thinking peace, a future, and a hope concerning you. His thoughts about you are not evil. God is not trying to mess your life up. God is not trying to destroy you. No, no, no. His thoughts, when it comes to you, are thoughts of peace. God wants you to prosper. He wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul does prosper. But see, when you look down on yourself, them ain't God's thoughts. God has thoughts of peace and not evil. When you listen to certain rappers or certain music and it's destructive, it's demeaning, that ain't God's thoughts. God's thoughts are peace. And he wants you also, secondly, to have a future. God wants you to live. I said, God wants you and I to live. The Bible even says that Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. God is not going to think anything towards you that's going to be contrary to his word. And then he says, I have thoughts of a hope for you. I said, he has thoughts of a hope for you. He got thoughts of pleasant things. He has thoughts of you being happy. He has thoughts of you experiencing salvation. He has thoughts of your life getting better and better. Even when we make choices that mess up our own life, that ain't God. God has thoughts of peace, a future, and hope. I thought y'all would get excited about that. Because I have been guilty of thinking that God think the same way about me that I thought of myself, that wasn't peaceful, hopeful, or that of a future. But the Bible clears that up. Baker, I got some good thoughts about you. And this is what the Lord says. Do y'all see it in Jeremiah 29 and 11? Now, our text reveals one trait of God's mind a young saint must know and understand. The Hebrew writer is talking to the church, and so that includes us. And he wants us to know that when it comes to the mind of God, that our God is not unjust. God is not unjust, young folk. God don't do you wrong. But what unjust suggests is that, first of all, God is not unfaithful. We serve a faithful God. 1 Corinthians 1 and 9, young people. God is faithful. God is not unjust. Say that with me. Say, my God is not unjust. If he promised a thing in his word, it's going to come to pass. Because all of the promises of God are, help me, yes and amen. God ain't unjust. He's faithful. And secondly, God is not unrighteous. I said it earlier, God ain't going to do you wrong. But how many in here have ever felt that God is doing you wrong? You look at your life, things ain't going the way you prayed. Things ain't going the way you asked. And sometimes if you're getting the flesh or you start walking by what you see, you'll start thinking, man, God, you ain't right. God, you're doing me. you're doing me wrong. But see, we got to have the mindset to understand God ain't unjust. What God allows us to go through is for our benefit. God will allow you to go through things in life. God will allow you not to get your way, but it's for your benefit. God is not unjust. It's something you need to learn. It's something you need to learn about you. It's something you need to learn about life. James said it like this. It's just a trying of your faith. God ain't unjust. And sometimes you can look at your parents and you think that their rules are just too strict. You can think that they're not allowing you to just enjoy your childhood or being a young adult. No. God ain't unjust. Rules are set in place to keep you safe. That's what the Bible teaches. Laws or rules are for your discretion, your safety. And you can think that, man, mama just doing me wrong. They just doing me wrong. They won't let me have what I call fun. No, your fun sometimes is just sin. God ain't unjust. No, he's not going to do you wrong. He's just trying to keep you safe. Trying to keep you in a place where you'll be happy. But sometimes, young people, we can look at God and his standards and not enjoy them or not see the benefit in them. But today you need to look at and just take a moment and say, you know what, God, it's good for you to do this to me. It's good for you to allow this to happen so I can learn and I can mature and I can grow. God is not unjust. Say that with me. Say, God is not unjust. I got to show y'all. Y'all go to Psalm real quick. Psalm 145. I showed you how unjust means unfaithful. And we know God is not unfaithful, right? But notice Psalm 145 and verse 17. God is not unjust. He's not unrighteous. Notice Psalm 145, 17. The Lord is righteous in how many of his ways? The Lord is what? In how many of his ways? All his ways. When God does things in our life, it's good. It's righteous. It's, as I said earlier, young folk, it's beneficial. But sometimes, young folk, you can look at God's ways and not see that they're righteous. You can get to the point to where you just get too big for your britches. And you think that you know more than God, but just take a step back. Humble yourself. And realize God's way is the best way. Sometimes it's challenging to your flesh, your body, but you have to tell yourself, God's way is the best way. All of his ways are righteous. And whatever he desires to happen, that's the best way. But then the writer gets a little bit more specific and says that our God is not unjust to forget. Our God is not unjust to forget. Now, there are certain things that God does forget, but here the writer says that he's not unjust to forget or neglect certain things, overlook certain things. And then he says what he doesn't fail to forget: our works. God is not unjust to forget your works, your deeds. God is aware of every choice that you make. And he doesn't forget the choices that we make. You got to remember that, young folk. Now, if you choose to do something that's contrary to God's will, that's on you. And we serve a God whose eye is in every place. He going to make sure you reap what you sow. You got to remember that. God ain't unjust. He know. He made me free more agent. I can do what I want to do. But you best believe, young folk, his eyes on you. He know exactly what's going on. He know your deeds. He know your choices. He does. Even when mama don't know, God know. Even when pastor don't know, God know. Even when you're trying to hide it, somebody shout, God know. Yeah. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God, God was just sitting back in the cut till finally he just revealed that he knew what was going on the whole time. Even God used Jesus to say, look, what's done in dark shall come to the light. God knows our works. He knows our deeds. Now, I'm teaching right now from a negative point of view. But we need to constantly remember, no matter what we choose to do, God, he what? He knows about it. But here in the text, the Hebrew writer is trying to give the audience some confidence that, look, God has not forgotten your works that you have done for his name. He hadn't forgot your deeds that you have chosen to do that give him glory. Ooh, that gets me excited. Because sometimes you can actually think in your own carnal mind that what you're doing is insignificant to God. But that's just not the case. Revelations 2:23. Are y'all still with me? Says in part, and I will give to each one of you according to your works. So when God see me make the right choices in life, he's going to reward me accordingly. When God sees me striving to live according to the written and the revealed word of God, it's a blessing in it. It may not always manifest at the time I want it or the way that I want it, but God sees my works. He sees what I put on the altar. He sees when I'm a blessing to somebody. He sees when I'm praying for my enemies. He sees when I'm doing what he told me to do in his word. My question to you is, what is God seeing when he looks at you? Is he seeing you doing consistently according to his will? Or is he seeing you doing what you want to do? Either way, he's going to reward us according to our works. That's why it's important, young folk, every day to make sure you're striving to do according to God's word. Because it's going to be some payback. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? I said it's going to be some payback. That's why you got to have a solid relationship with God. And you strive to do what's right, the Bible say, in his sight. Because God is going to make sure he gives you according to your deeds or your works. Then he says, look, God is not unjust to forget your works and your labor of love. Your labor of love, young people, has to do with your debtor. Your dedication. And see, sometimes you dedicate yourself to things and people and there's no eternal reward for it. But when we dedicate ourselves to the things of God, there's an eternal reward. When you sow into righteousness, are y'all still with me? The Bible says, young people, there's a sure reward. And the Lord is saying this morning, I know about your dedication. I know how you dedicated yourself to me. You make mistakes from time to time, but I see your dedication. I see your dedication in your lifestyle, and I'm going to do something about that. I see your dedication when it comes to your giving. I know that right now you don't have all of what you desire, but I'm going to change that. Because you've been dedicated when it comes to bringing God what he has required. Dedicated to him in prayer. Dedicated to him in serving. However he has required. Woo, is God talking to anybody in here? He said, I'm not unjust. I'm not going to forget about that. I haven't forgot about your dedication. And then he breaks it down that you have shown toward my name. My name has to do with his sanctuary. When you are dedicated to serving God in his house, God gonna do something about that. When you are dedicated to making sure that your children come up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, you're dedicated to make sure they go to the game, to the band practice, but then you make sure they're dedicated to the things of God, God gonna make sure that that household is blessed. And see, one thing I try, well, I don't try, I do. As I tell you, young folk, look, you need to be involved in different things in life. But your first love need to be to God's house. Your dedication needs to be to the things of God. Because if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, everything we desire, God is going to add it to us. And see, this is a wake-up call for some of us who ain't dedicated. Some of us who been slacking. Don't mess around and miss your blessing. I said, don't mess around and miss your blessing. When you and I are dedicated to the house of God, the Lord is going to make sure that we well taken care of. Got to be dedicated. Whether you're a musician, whether you're a minister, whether you're a leader, whether you're a dancer, whatever. You got to make sure you are dedicated. And you got to get to a point to where your dedication is in you to where nothing can separate you from God's house. I want to be here serving the Lord. I got to be here serving the Lord. God chose me. I got to function in his house. Am I right about it? And he says, look, not only your dedication to the sanctuary, but then he says to his people. You're dedicated to his people. There are some adults and some young people here at the MSW. You are dedicated to serving God's people. And don't you think God has forgotten how you have been laboring for him? Don't you think God hadn't been seeing how when your body is racked with pain, you still press your way? You still make sure that your children, your teenagers are in God's house when you're going through things in your family. I'm talking to somebody. Yeah, God sees your dedication to his sanctuary and to his people. That's why, young folk, you don't let people move you. Even when you go to church with folks sometimes that get on your nerves, you don't let people move you from where God has set you. You may get on my nerves, but I'm still coming to serve in his house, and I'm still coming to serve his people. Because whatever we do, the Bible says we need to do it as unto the Lord. Not unto men, but unto the Lord. And when God sees that dedication, sometimes he'll let a whole lot of time go by. And sometimes you feel like, God, do you see what's going on in my life? Do you see I'm still dedicated to you? And here the Lord showed up on the last Sunday in June to say, I ain't forgot. I have not forgot. And how many know sometimes man will forget what you do for them? I said man sometimes, young folk, will forget what you do for them. But God ain't like man. I showed you earlier, his thoughts are higher than God's thoughts. That's why, young people, you should dedicate yourself to serving him, because we serve a God that will make sure that he does not forget what we do for him. And so what I want to do in the close, as I hit the corner, y'all still with me? I want to give you some more truths about the mind of God. Because as you live and as you grow, young people, you're going to go through things that's going to come at your mind. Things that's going to test your heart, try you. But you got to always remember, God ain't unjust. He's not going to forget my works. He's not going to forget my labor that I show to his sanctuary and to the saints of God. God does not forget what we do for him. I thought y'all would be excited about it. But I'm teaching to me and a few of us, right? Let's go to Ruth. Now go on and break down and go to table of contents. Ruth, chapter number 2. And notice, if you will, verse number 12. And look at what's recorded in the book of Ruth 2 and 12. The Lord repay your work and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. What do I want us to see in this verse? The Lord will repay. He'll repay us for our work. Woo! I said he'll repay us for our work. And I love how he said a full reward will be given you by the Lord. God gonna make sure you and I get a just payment for our work, for our labor. I had this job one time where I worked all the way in Decatur. I would drive an hour to work. I would work from 8 to 5. Then I would drive all the way back to Carrollton. And I did this for a while. And I'll never forget, the boss came in there and told me one day, well, I know you've been working for the last 2 weeks, and I know payday is today, but I don't have nothing to pay you. You're not getting the check. Lord have mercy. I done did all this work, and then you come in here and tell me I'm not going to get paid for my work? Y'all ought to shout, that ain't right. But God ain't like that. I said, God ain't like that. Whenever we serve the Lord wholeheartedly, when we serve him properly, he's going to make sure that we are repaid and get a full reward for our work. And this is one thing that's amazing about God. You don't know how he's going to bless you. I said, you don't know how he's going to bless you. All you know is he's going to what? He gonna bless. He may call somebody to come up to you and bless you more than what your job could do. Or he may turn around and call somebody to give you something that you've been praying for. You don't know how God is gonna bless you, but if you serve him, young folk, he gonna make sure that you get a full reward. And not just in heaven, I'm talking here on earth. Not just in heaven. We're going to get rewards in heaven, right? But God going to make sure that we get restitution here on earth. And can I throw something else at you? He's not going to wait to give you certain things till you get grown. He'll do certain things for you while you are young. While you're young, God will bless you. He'll make sure that you get your reward for your works and labor that you show toward his name and his saints. And I'm going to tell you something. You got to be honest. The devil blesses folks. I said, Satan gives folks things for them serving him. You remember when Jesus went up on the mount, young people, and he said, look, if you just worship me, I'll give you this. I'll give you that. That's why it's important not to covet what somebody has, because you don't know who gave it to them. You out there looking at a sinner getting stuff, and you're not realizing God didn't bless them with that. A foreign God or the devil blessed them with that. But there's a difference between the blessings of the Lord and what the devil would give you. We said it early. The blessings of the Lord make one rich and add no sorrow. And even Jesus asked a good question, young people. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? You got people out here that's willing to worship and work for the devil, but they're willing to give up their soul. They're willing to give it up and die and go to hell. God, you can have my soul and I go to heaven. And you'll bless me while I'm here on earth. That's a better exchange. If I'm going to sell out, I'm going to sell out to Jesus. Are you with me? And so you got to understand, look, you can get things here on earth. It's just who giving you those things. Is God giving you those things, or is the world or the devil giving you things? And I prefer God to give me things. I said, I prefer God to give me things. What about you? Yeah. And so we need to understand, when we do what God requires and live according to his word, Ruth 2 and 12, God gonna make sure we get full payment. He gonna reward us. It pays to serve God in middle school. It pays to serve God in high school. It pays to serve God after high school. It pays to serve God as an adult. I'm looking at young adults now, God pouring out blessings on them in their early 20s that I didn't start experiencing until my late 30s. Why? You started before me. You got in God earlier than I did. You know, in the world, we call that seniority. You know, you've been on the job a little bit longer than somebody. You know, it's just certain benefit. You get in God as early as you can so them benefits can kick in. I said, you get in God as early as you can and stay in God and watch them benefits just start kicking in. You don't have to sin or do what the world does to get things. You don't have to do that. Look at somebody and say, you don't have to do that. No. So the first truth we need to understand when it comes to the mind of God, if we just serve God, he's going to make sure we get repaid. And you should be able to look in your life now, young folk, and see, God is blessing me. You should be able to look in your life right now and just take a step back and say, man, you know what? God is blessing me for how I'm serving him, how I'm living for him. It may not be at the level that I totally desire, but God is blessing me. God is doing for me, and I don't have to look over my shoulder. I don't have to worry about ops. I ain't got that. I ain't got to worry about that. God is blessing. He's blessing me. Am I right about it? 1 Corinthians. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. Because see, the days of young people saying serving God ain't worth it, you need to know that's a lie. That's a lie. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. Another truth about God's just mind. So we see that God gonna make sure we get full payment, right? 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, talking to the church, be steadfast. Help me out. Immovable. Always what? Abounding in the work of the Lord. Here it is. Knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Second truth, you must know that your labor for the Lord is not in vain. You got to know that what you're doing for the Lord is not worthless. You showing up to serve at God's house is not vain. This means something. You take it serious. I love how Paul said, you got to know. You got to know that giving out envelopes and helping God's people is not worthless. David even talked about in scripture how he would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord, usher, what we would consider an usher. He said, man, just let me be a doorkeeper. You got to know your labor is not in vain. It's not worthless. You got to know it. You got to know what you're doing is beneficial. When nobody pats you on the back, you still got to know, well, what I'm doing is not in vain. You got to know. And so in order to know it, notice he said, you got to be steadfast and immovable, and you just got to keep working. Keep working. You got to look at what you're doing and say, how can I get better? How can I get better? I got my own car now. Can I get there earlier and not later? How can I get better? I need to abound or get better in the work of the Lord. Can I sing this song a little bit better than what I've been doing? Can I push it out just a little bit harder? Can I move a little bit more and quit saying I'm shy? I got to abound in the work of the Lord. I got to make sure what I'm doing is on point. And I got to know it. That what I'm doing is not worthless. It's not fruitless. Shout, I got to know it. You got to know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. You've got to know it. You got to know that what you're doing is beneficial. Lord have mercy. And I know it. I said, I know what I'm doing. It's not in vain. Me teaching and training young folk in the way they should go is not in vain. And whatever God has chosen you to do, you got to know is not in vain. I got to deal with this last verse and we're going to be done. Luke 18. Now all of it been helpful to me, but this was my verse right here throughout the whole message. So we're learning when it comes to the mind of God, he's not unjust to forget, right? He's going to make sure he repays us. Not just in heaven, but where? Here on what? Here on earth. Then we see that, look, I got to know that my labor is not in what? It's not in vain. What I do is important in the kingdom of God. What I do is necessary in the kingdom of God. Notice Luke 18. And we're going to look at verse 7 and 8. And I'm going to deal with this and we're going to be done. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him? Look at God. Though he bears long with them. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily or quickly. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, here it is, will he really find faith on earth? See, what the verse is telling us that when it comes to God, young people, sometimes it seems like God taking too long. It seems like God is not moving quick enough. That's why he says, look, though he bears long with them. But then he says, I tell you, he will avenge or do for them quickly or speedily. Nevertheless, this the key. Will he really find faith? So when we understand the mind of God, young people, and what God wants to do, what God requires, we got to keep the faith. You got to be to the point, young people, where you got some stick-to-itiveness. You got to know how to stick with God even when he doesn't move on your timetable. You got to know how to endure hardships in life. When life throws things at you that can be challenging to deal with, you got to know how not to cast away your confidence, because God is still looking for some faith. When you get denied, when you get turned down, when things don't go the way you prayed for them to go, you still got to have some faith. Why do I need to have faith, Pastor? Because without faith, it's impossible to please him. You got to have the mindset, well, God gonna do what he said. It may not have happened the way I planned, but it's still gonna happen. It's gonna happen on his timetable. You got to know that if God said it, he gonna do it. You got to preach to yourself sometime. Because your situations and people will talk to you, but you got to learn how to strengthen or encourage yourself. Lord, this is going to happen for me. This is going to happen for my child. This is going to happen for my daughter. It's not going down the way I thought it would, but it's still going to work out for my good. What do you call that? Faith. Will he find faith in his young folk? Will he find some young folk that's still praying even though their prayer hasn't been totally answered? Will he find young folk still giving even though they're coming down to their last? Will he find young folk still serving, still witnessing, still living right, even though things may not be going the way they desire in life? Will he find faith? And when you understand the just mind of God, you know that God can't lie. You know that God is going to stick to his word. You know that heaven and earth shall help me pass, but not his word. You got to hang on in there. You got to get a grip. You got to put 10 toes down and say, I'm not moving off of God's word. He's going to do everything in my life and in my family life that he promised. You got to keep the faith. And I want to encourage somebody. God ain't forgot about you. You just got to hang in there until it's your turn. You just got to hang in there until God decide to manifest what you've been asking for him to manifest. Quit pouting, quit tripping, and just keep the faith. God is going to do everything that he said, but it's going to be on his timetable. You got to keep the faith. I love telling the story of the Hebrew boys. Y'all remember the Hebrew boys? Boy, their life was on the line. But they knew the mind of God. They said, look, our God is able to deliver us. But if he don't, we still ain't going to bow down. God can deliver us. He can do anything for fail. Turn the fire up if you want to, but we ain't bowing down. They knew God's will. God did not want them to serve any other gods. And even if they had to die, they was ready to stand on it. Man, they understood the will of God. God was so impressed how they were keeping the faith. He showed up in the fire. I said he showed up in the fire and gave them a testimony. How do you go in the fire and your clothes don't even smell like smoke? How do you go in the fire and you don't even get burnt? What God is trying to say, if we keep the faith as young folk, he gonna give us a powerful testimony. I said he's gonna give us a powerful, powerful testimony. How do you keep living in the doctor said you had that? Because God is with me. Because God said he would heal me. Because God said this, that, and the other. How did you go to school debt free and your mama work that job that's paying her a little? Because God said he would supply all of my need according to his riches in glory. How do you and your sisters, all of y'all got a call? But you come out of a single parent out because God would do exceedingly abundantly above what we ask or think. Look at somebody say, you got to keep the faith. You got to keep the faith. No matter what we go through, we got to understand the just mind of God. And sometimes he'll just let us just go through stuff and it look like he ain't gonna come. It look like he ain't gonna move. But young folk, we don't walk by what it look like or what we see. The just live by faith. You got to keep the faith. You got to keep the faith. God ain't unjust. Keep the faith in how you think, how you talk and how you act. You got to just keep the faith. Lord, I'm thinking what you said in your word. You will repay. It go from thinking to talk. Lord, you going to repay. Man, then it go to your choices. You act like God got you. He going to do everything that he prescribed in his word. And this is what young folk need to understand about God. You don't need to do this when you get older. We do, but you don't need to wait to start. You need to understand the just mind of God and walk accordingly now. Right now. And understand God ain't going to forget what we do for him. I said, God ain't going to forget it. And if we don't do for him and we do for ourselves, he see that too. And he going to make sure that we reap what we've been sowing. God ain't fair. Look at somebody say, God ain't fair. God is just. He's just. He's just. And how many understand from the teaching just a little bit about the just mind of God? Did it help? Yes, sir. Well, I'm going to stop right there. Let's give our God a hand clap.